Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we want to meet you and welcome you and make you feel right at home. So those of us who are here on a regular basis will be looking for faces that we don't recognize to say hello and to welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you introduce yourselves to us because we're delighted that you're here. If you look in your bulletin insert, you'll see lots of ways that you can become involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to mention a few, but before I do, I'm going to answer the question that is on your mind already. Why is Michael out of uniform? That's because this is my sole responsibility in worship today. I'm going to come out and join you and worship as part of the body of the congregation today. Erin Racine, our newest pastor on staff, is preaching. If you have not heard her previously, you are in for a treat. And for the women of the congregation, she will be leading our next Connect and Share Women's Gathering on September 27th from 12 to 1:30. That's in McWhorter Hall. Lunch is $5. You can find out how to RSVP in your bulletin insert. But I know that once you hear her today, you will want to come back and hear her on the 27th as well. Also, a big thanks to all those who have taken part in our Habitat Build, who are taking part in our Habitat Build. And thank you so much, because we raised our complete $30,000 donation that we as a congregation make toward the building of the house. So thank you all very much for your generosity and your money, your time, your effort. And someone will have a place to live because of what you have done. Today is tonight at 5 p.m. in the sanctuary. If you have not taken time to come to a Today service and your life is as busy and noisy as mine, you may want to try it. It's a time of quiet, it's a time of prayer, it's a time of singing, and it's a respite from the busyness of life and a time to simply focus on the presence of God. So that's 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary this afternoon. If you have not had a chance to sign the petitions that Belmont United Methodist Church have placed online to change the language in our discipline for the full inclusion of our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, and you would care to do that, hard copies of the petitions are at a table in Reed Hall, along with instructions about how to go online and to sign the petitions that will be sent to General Conference next spring. Or you can find those same instructions here in the blue insert in your bulletin. For all of those who would like to support that full inclusion, you are welcome to go there and do so. And finally, our free store collection for Edge Hill United Methodist Church lasts through next Sunday. You've seen the blue bins. We are collecting cleaning supplies and personal hygiene items. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. That will last through next Sunday. So if you're going to bring something, be sure and bring it before then. Now let me invite you to open your minds and your hearts and your lives to whatever God has to say to you during our time together.
Oh, that I might and breath praise ye the Lord. Shout to the Lord, alleluia. Praise the Lord with joyful song, alleluia. Oh, that I might and breath praise ye the Lord. Thank you.
wise and understanding among us. Come, learn more about the wisdom from above, a wisdom that yields a harvest of righteousness. Let us turn to the Lord with our confessions, because the one who knows us through and through has promised to renew us. O God, we live our lives as best we can, dealing with difficult relationships and situations, putting failures and disappointments behind us, and moving into each new day with as much energy, goodwill, and optimism as we can muster. But here, right now, we seldom have the right answers. We seldom seek your higher wisdom in our lives. We just move ahead. Forgive us for not asking for your insight. Fill us with your wisdom, that we may live lives of goodness and peace. When we come before God in humility and honesty, God draws near to us with forgiveness and renewed blessing. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Be seated, unless you'd like to come join me up here at the front. Kids of all ages, and you're welcome to bring a parent if you want. Good morning. How many of you have ever been jealous? Okay. How many of you have ever been jealous? Yeah, it's something that a lot of us struggle with. When I was a kid, I have a younger brother, and he and I would get jealous of each other all the time. He would get to sit in the front seat of the car, and I had to sit in the back, and I'd be jealous. Or I would get to pick the cookie. I'd get the first to pick the cookie off the plate when we were passing him around, and he had to get the second option. He'd be jealous of me. We get jealous of each other all the time about all sorts of different stuff. And a lot of times, when we were jealous of each other, we'd start to be mean to each other. We'd call each other names, or sometimes we even hit each other. It wasn't very nice. Do you have a question? Why did we get mad at each other? Well, I don't know. That's a really good question. We were jealous of each other. And it wasn't like I ever, you know, got to sit in the front seat. We both got to sit in the front seat. We both got to pick the cookies. We both got a cookie. I don't know why we were jealous. It's a good question. James, in the book of James that Pastor Lisa just read, he talks about jealousy. And he talks about what we should do with our jealousy. Sometimes we let our jealousy get the better of us, and then we are mean to other people. But sometimes, if we can give our jealousy over to God, we can love each other better. And I think that's what James wants us to do. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you love us. We give you thanks for even those people that we're jealous of. And we would ask that you would help us not to respond by being mean, but to respond with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the movie Penguins of Madagascar, we meet four penguins named Skipper, Kowalski, Private, and Rico. They're kidnapped by an angry octopus named Dave. I'm married to a Dave, so don't take any. Just forget that. I said that. A long time before, Dave had been at the Central Park Zoo. He had a roomy tank. He had a great location. He had monkey house views. And he had an adoring legion of fans. Dave was the octopus of a thousand tricks. He was the total package. But then, these cute penguins showed up, and everything changed. The penguins stole the show, and no one was interested in Dave anymore. He was shipped off to another aquarium, but then the same thing happened again and again. Penguins would show up and he would be out. He was shunned, forgotten, unwanted, and alone. Dave says, "I came to realize that some creatures are born to get all the love. The rest of us get nothing." So he's plotted his revenge by creating a serum to kill all of the penguins of the world. I'll let you all watch the movie to find out what happens. Hey, jealousy. It's as old as Cain and Abel. And yet it keeps showing up over and over in novels and songs and movies throughout the world. Somehow, we humans and cartoon animals alike are still grappling with what it means to want what others have, to want to be better than others, or to get the better of others. So somehow, it's not surprising that the book of James, which was written so long ago, still has something relevant to say on the topic. Listen to what James says. Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will always also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Ouch. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, really, what's the harm in a little envy? It's not really all that bad, is it? Well, James thinks it is. But you see, he's looking at it with a wide lens. He sees the long view. He understands that there are two different kinds of wisdom in this world, earthly wisdom and wisdom from above. Earthly wisdom suggests that in order to be, we have to have. In order to count, we have to possess. In order to matter, we have to attain. Earthly wisdom tells us that there's only a finite number of resources in this world, and so it sets us up for competition. And that competition sets us up for envy and selfish ambition. All of us find ourselves envious of all sorts of things, big and small. The neighbor with his new car, the coworker who got the promotion, our friend with the perfect hair. And social media doesn't help, of course. When we see others through the lens of Instagram or carefully crafted Facebook posts, it's easy to look at our own lives and feel like we don't measure up. In fact, in her TED Talk on jealousy, literary critic Parul Sigal suggests that jealousy is the currency of social media. But beyond that, our whole society is built on the notion that the more we have, the better we'll feel. Whether it's money or power or prestige or possessions. And how do we know that we have more, except when we compare ourselves to others? That's earthly wisdom. The problem is, when we let envy and selfish ambition go unchecked, they eventually lead to violence. Did you know that jealousy is the leading cause of spousal murder worldwide? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder, James says. Now, James is talking to a whole Christian community here. He's not suggesting that they're all literally going around committing murder. But he does want them to be aware of the result of unchecked envy and selfish ambition. He wants them to see that their conflicts and disputes are causing a form of violence among them. It may not be a physical violence, but it's a violence that tears one another down and tears at the seams of Christian community. And while their natural inclination might be to blame the other side or some external forces, James wants them to look first into their own hearts. He wants them to recognize that their unchecked envy and selfish ambition, their cravings that are at war within them, have led them here to conflicts and disputes. Earthly wisdom leads to violence. Larry Wood is a preacher and a writer in northern Michigan, and he writes about a conflict within the Catholic Church where he lives. One group wanted to renovate their historic building, but a different group wanted to leave it the way it was. He says that the group opposed to renovations littered the county with big red signs that said, "Preserve St. Francis," and then they filled the airwaves with calls to hold your money. Worshippers were horrified to find their church conflict on the front pages of the distant Detroit papers. But meanwhile, Wood says, the children of St. Francis, just like children elsewhere, have led them. They're busy with missions work. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. While earthly wisdom leads to violence, wisdom from above, wisdom from God, leads to peace. and it begins with looking first to our own hearts. Author and blogger Glennon Doyle Melton says this, "I don't know much, but I know that each time I see something heartbreaking in the news, each time I encounter a problem outside, the answer to the problem is inside. The problem is always me, and the solution is always me. If I want my world to be less vicious, then I must become more gentle. If I want my children to embrace other children for who they are, to treat other children with the dignity and respect every child of God deserves, then I had better treat other adults the same way. And I better make sure that my children know beyond a shadow of a doubt that in God's and their father's and my eyes, they are okay. They are loved as they are, without a single unless. Because the kids who bully are those who are afraid that a secret part of themselves is not okay." Do you remember that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth"? Do you remember the words? "And let it begin with me." So how do we do that? Now, it would be really easy for me to stand up here and self-righteously tell you that you shouldn't be jealous or have selfish ambition, and then leave it at that and sit down. But that would probably make you mad, and it wouldn't be very helpful. The truth is, I struggle with jealousy a lot, and some of you probably do too. I think James knew that. I think that he knew that all of us struggle with jealousy at times. I think that's why he gives us that helpful guidance in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." Now, I don't have all the answers, but I would like to share with you two things that I think might be helpful in our struggles with envy. The first is John Wesley's covenant prayer. If you're not familiar with this prayer, I'd encourage you to look it up. It was a prayer that was often used by the early Methodists as a way of reaffirming their covenant with God. And I understand that West End has a tradition of saying this prayer after the New Year. A few years ago, I went through a period of really intense jealousy. And I found that reciting this prayer helped to put things in a little bit of a perspective. The modern version of the prayer goes like this. "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen." "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God," says James. At its core, Wesley's covenant prayer is about surrender, about letting go of some things, our cravings and selfish ambition, so that God can use us. And in my experience, when we do that, God does use us in ways that we might never have imagined. I think John Wesley knew a little something about wisdom from above. The second thing I think that might be helpful for us this morning is what Perul Segal characterized as turning jealousy into a problem of geometry. Where we once stood in opposition to someone of whom we're jealous, we're invited to figure out how we can realign ourselves so that we're standing with them. When we allow ourselves to admire others rather than resenting them, to stand with them rather than against them. We open ourselves to the gifts of being in relationship with them. And something tells me that might lead to peace. I know someone else who's in the business of geometry and realignment. Someone who came down from above to be in relationship with us. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You see, Jesus came to stand with all of us, even those we envy, even those we resent. When we draw near to God, when we stand with Jesus, we align ourselves with those whom we might otherwise resent, and we open ourselves to the gifts of relationship. Wisdom from above. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen. Would you stand as you're able and join me in our affirmation of faith, number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following this worship service. This community meets in room 315, also known as the Fireside Lounge. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared with the congregation or are to be kept confidential with the pastoral staff. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You're invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our worship service today. Today we offer our sympathy to the family of Mary Ann and Ed Herbert, who are mourning the death of Mary Ann's daughter, Kimberly Waller Foster, who died May the 9th in Atlanta, Georgia. We also want to offer our sympathy to Rebecca, John, William, Hudson, and Rebecca Jane Gilliland, who are mourning the death of Rebecca's father, John Edward Slavin, who died September the 8th in Little Rock, Arkansas. Memorial services will be held on October the 3rd at the First United Methodist Church of Little Rock. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of understanding, through the word read and proclaimed, and through your word incarnate, Jesus Christ, you give us the direction we need and show us that there is nowhere else to go but to you with our joys and concerns. We pray for the church in every place, that wherever people gather in your name, may we listen to each other with open hearts. Give your people unity, O God, and replace divisiveness with reconciliation. We pray for the leaders of our nation, for our president and members of Congress, for the leaders asserting power in other nations, for nations in trouble at this time, and for peacemakers and diplomats as they work to shape a reformed people. We pray for all who suffer from the horrors of war and famine, for those fleeing their homeland due to terrorist threats, for children who do not know the reason for their pain and have no power to change their lot, and for the animals and plants damaged by human conflicts. We are grateful for this amazing earth, for flowing streams and rich soils and abundant sunshine. We pray for those who have no understanding that we are stewards of your earth. Make us wise and careful in caring for the wonderful resources you, O God, have given to us. We offer prayers for families, land, homes lost to wildfires. May they find comfort and hope to rebuild. We pray for those drought-stricken areas. May the land and reservoir soon experience refreshing, life-giving rains. We pray for those suffering from all forms of injustice, brokenness, or illness, especially all who have asked for the prayers of this congregation and for those whose well-being we hold in our hearts and name them silently now before you. We lean on your compassion, O God, and trust your promise to hear the prayers of your people and answer our need through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in one voice this prayer: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We live and move and have our being inside the circle of the arms of Jesus. Let us open our hearts so that our giving of God's tithes and our offerings bring others into that circle.
Friends, may we go forth this week to be peacemakers, looking first to our own hearts and drawing near to God. Go now with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.